Welcome to Orphans No More, a radio extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry, a program dedicated to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless, advocating Christian families to adopt and get involved with foster care here in the Capital District, as well as globally, and encouraging and supporting those who've heard and heeded the call of James 1:27.
God sets the lonely in families. That is Psalm 68:6. This is Orphans No More, a media extension of Justice for Orphans. I'm your host, Sandra Flack, and our guest today, joining me from Michigan, is Carla Marie Williams, adoptive homeschooling mom, speaker, writer, and co-founder of I Speak for Kids Global. Welcome to the show, Carla Marie.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's an honor to have you, Carla. And you and your husband, Thomas, have 6 children, which I know you already know that, all adopted through foster care. But for the benefit of our listeners, so that they can appreciate your day, their ages are presently 15, 14, 11, 11, 10, and 8. I got that right? Oh, awesome.
Absolutely.
So you are a busy mama. Homeschooling,
yes,
all of them and all of that. So share with us, what led you on this journey to advocate for children?
Well, originally, it was not a plan or a strategy or a vision of ours at all. Originally, we wanted to be parents. And after suffering several losses, we decided that there was more than one way to do that. And we thought about all of our options that would lead in that direction, and we went with foster care. We understood, obviously, the original purpose of foster care is to reunite children with their families, but we were willing, in the case when that was not possible, to become a family for children. Originally in 2006, we brought home 2 amazing little chickadees. They were 3 and 2 at the time, a boy and a girl. And about 4 or 5 months later, their baby brother was born. And so it took us a couple months to get him home with the paperwork. But we were able to adopt within a 6-month period all 3 of them. And originally, again, it was all about being parents. We were really excited to be parents, but we were completely incompetent when it came to trauma and what our children needed from us, and what that looked like. And as a result of that, we kind of went through a school of hard knocks. And we learned a lot, made a lot of mistakes. Like, obviously, most parents don't like to admit that.
Yeah.
But we made a lot of mistakes and learned and apologized and a lot of I'm sorry's and a lot of love and compassion later. We began to realize this is something that a lot of families are not prepared for. They don't understand trauma, therefore they're not able to be what their children need at the time. And so I began to be an advocate for kids that needed families that were ready and that were trauma competent, not just to be adopted, but to be adopted into families that were ready and prepared and understood what they had been through and had the ability and compassion and wherewithal to be able to stand and help them through their hard times.
Mm.
About 7 years later, we decided that was so much fun, we decided to do it again. And so we decided to adopt 3 more children in 2013. And they were 6, 5, and 3 at the time. They had been in, I think at that time, before they came to us, 5 different foster homes.
Oh, my.
And as a result of that, obviously, there was no reason for them to trust us.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had a lot of work on our hands. They had been through a whole lot, things that we had never experienced. And it was up to us to figure it all out. I vaguely remember very little help that we received when we first started this journey. And I did not want other families to have to walk the journey alone. And so as a result of that, I became an advocate for kids that could help the parents help their kids, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, that's yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me, because I have to confess that I was a parent, you know, we had biological children and then we adopted children. And it doesn't matter if you've parented biological children for 100 years. When
right.
a traumatized child comes into your home,
it's complex.
It's a game changer. It's a completely different set of parenting tools to
yes,
parent a child with a trauma history. And like you said, families must be trauma competent, because you're not going to bring them to a place of healing or trust without understanding how the unique tools you need to parent them.
Right. Exactly. And so that led to me starting a radio program.
Yeah.
that focused on those very things. And we talked to everyone in the adoption triad, from adoptees and foster alumni, adoptive parents, people that do missions work in all over the world, as well as authors and speakers and even birth parents on both sides, birth fathers and birth mothers. And so we just tried to give a holistic view of everyone's perspective when it came to foster care and adoption and the things that relate to children. And as a result of that, it led to me doing trainings and conferences here in my region in Michigan, which kind of led to things nationally. In 2014, I was able to go to Ethiopia with Bethany Christian Services. I'm on the board for Bethany, both of their corporate and global boards. And so I was able to go with them, and as a result of that actual show or that actual trip, I was able to do training in both of those countries. And so that was my first time being outside of America and learning how the same principles, and many of the same principles that apply to trauma-competent care here, apply around the world. Obviously, you have to educate yourself culturally,
sure.
you know, as far as what things are different. But that particular trip led to me starting an international ministry of my own, which is I Speak for Kids Global. And that led to Zimbabwe. And Malawi just recently. As well as a couple countries in Latin America. So it's kind of snowballed into something that I never expected, never
yeah.
planned or strategized, but it has come from just my passion to prepare families to care for kids properly.
Yeah. So Carla, you've experienced children with trauma in the United States through whether kids come into foster care or whether overseas they're in orphanages.
Mm-hmm.
Trauma in some ways is very similar. There's loss, there's neglect, there's abuse.
Yes.
And what other types of trauma, and how it's really the same. It impacts brain development. It impacts behavior. Share with us kind of so our listeners can get an idea of what is trauma and what does that look like?
You know, it's interesting because most people think that a child has to be separated from their parents for a long period of time to be traumatized. I mean, science tells us that even an infant separated from a birth mother, that there are differences
yeah.
and that there's trauma that takes place. But as far as in the U.S., usually in the U.S., as you know, most children that come into foster care is because of neglect, abandonment, or abuse. And what I have found, which is so incredibly unfortunate in many countries that I've been in, is that is rarely the case.
Wow.
Not saying that it doesn't happen,
right?
Because it does. So we would be naive to say that it doesn't never happens other
right.
places. But usually, and I'm gonna quote this, but I'm not sure if it's the latest quote, that approximately 80% of the children in a lot of orphanages are not exactly orphans.
Yes, I've heard that as well.
And the sad thing about that is that a lot of the kids, they're traumatized and separated from their families because of economics.
Mm-hmm. Poverty.
And that is
yeah.
exactly poverty. And And that's just as traumatizing as, you know, being orphaned in the literal sense.
Right.
And so it's something that has always, family preservation is something that's always been on my
yes.
heart, that the first thing that any organization should work towards is reuniting those families when that is a safe and, you know, possible option.
Yeah.
And then going from there, seeking, you know, foster families within community and extended family and things of that nature. But that's what I have noticed, the differences between foster care here in the U.S. and other countries, is that the reasons that they are there a lot of times are different.
Yeah. And I think, too, a lot of times countries don't have a foster care system that mm-hmm. as we have it set up in the United States. And not that that's a great thing, because there's uh-huh. definitely problems, you know, with that here in the U.S. But countries a lot of times, because there's not that system set up for a child to go to a safe place temporarily until reunification can happen, they do go into foster care. For a lot of the same reasons, I think, you know, if a family's not able to provide because of poverty, different reasons why, you know, children might end up in the foster care system here could be the same kinds of things that get them in the orphanage over there. And then in the orphanage.
Or on the street.
Yeah, or on the street oftentimes.
Yes.
And even within orphanages, you've got, you know, then there's further abuse that can happen to a child. So
absolutely.
So all of those things, it's just kind of, it's eye opening, really. So Carla Marie,
go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
One of the things that I wanted to mention is that I only personally, and I am I guess you could say my husband and I are a two man shop when it comes to I Speak for Kids Global. He does do some things with me here in the U.S. So far I travel alone, but, we only accept invitations from organizations or churches or regions of a country that are actively trying to transition from an orphanage model into family-based care.
Wonderful.
So I do not do trainings for orphanages. I do not do trainings for programs that are orphanage-heavy or if that's their main mission.
Right.
It's all about family-based care.
Yes.
And if I try to do as much research as possible, ask all the right questions to make sure that I am in support of what an organization or ministry is doing before I accept an invitation.
Right. But we want to follow God's model, which is kids belong
Absolutely.
In families, not in
Yes.
institutions. So, Carla, you've been overseas, like you said, to Ethiopia, to Ghana, to Zimbabwe, doing training. So describe for us what kinds of training you actually do when you go to those countries.
Most of it is trauma-competent parenting and care of kids that have been through a lot. And mainly, it is behavior-specific. So, obviously, we cover, you know, what trauma does to the brain and how children may react differently based on their own personality and how they deal with the trauma they've experienced. But we try to go a little bit further on how to deal with specific behaviors, like food disorders based on early neglect or, you know, food insecurity.
Right.
How to care for compassionately children that have experienced sexual abuse or even children that have become abusers themselves. How to deal with discipline creatively. And this hasn't always been easy going from culture to culture.
Mm.
Because here in the U.S., we kind of have come to an understanding that our old school ways of doing things kind of re-traumatize
right.
kids that have been through a lot. And then, but we have countries where that is still the main way of disciplining a child is through corporal punishment.
Right.
So,
and you're furthering the trauma that way.
Yes, exactly. And so I very comically, because I have to, because it's a very heavy subject, I ask them to consider certain thoughts and ideas and searching for the root of a behavior before, you know, doing anything
yeah.
that they consider a cultural norm. So those kinds of things, how to homeschool children that have been traumatized and how it can be a benefit to the family and to the child. We have so many different topics, how to bring home a sibling group, which is much different than adopting one child at a time.
Right.
How to, you know, when it comes to adopting older children versus, you know, a toddler or an infant. So we have some organizations, both here and abroad, that will ask us to talk about something specific. Like in Mexico, they did, 1 year I did a message on marriage and how a husband and wife can, how a child's trauma can affect the marriage relationship and how to remain strong and prayerful and vigilant while dealing and helping your children through the trauma they've experienced.
Wonderful. So our listeners can learn more about the work that you do by going to your website, which is iSpeakForKidsGlobal, and that's the number four, iSpeakForKidsGlobal.com, correct?
Yes, absolutely.
Wonderful. So, Carla, as the church gets more involved in the biblical mandate to care for orphans and foster children, which is really something we're beginning to see in churches across the country here, there's an emphasis on adoption and foster care. Become adoptive parent, become a foster parent, because we're always recruiting, and there is a need, and we do need that. But what would you say to the church along those lines?
I would say that God has created everybody with a very specific purpose, a very specific role, and a very specific, purpose to walk out. And that means that all of us are called to do different things. So to make a family feel like, because their ministry is prison ministry instead of orphan ministry, that there is something wrong with that is short-sighted. And so what I have found is that it is very healthy for churches to present orphan care in a way that people feel like there is something that can be done, but foster care and adoption for every single person in the congregation is not the only option.
Right.
That there are ways for them to come wrap around families. There are ways for them to financially support. There are ways for them to advocate online. I mean, in the age of social media, you can be a powerful voice online. There
That's
are ways to support the No More Orphans goal without actually becoming an adoptive or foster family, if that is not what you believe God is calling you to do.
That's the key, is to not just romanticize, oh, we're going to bring home these children and we're all going to live happily ever after. But a family has to understand the trauma component and that it is difficult. And, you know, there's those of us who are called to bring kids into our home. And I think the percentage I remember reading at some point was like maybe 7% of Christians will actually bring a child into their home through foster care or adoption. But that doesn't leave the other 93%, you know, they're not off the hook. Play a key role in wrapping around and supporting and encouraging and holding up the arms of foster and adoptive parents.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, Carla Marie, can you share with us a success story, something from the field, whether it be on one of your many trips overseas or maybe even something here in the States where you've really seen this work?
When you say seeing this work, what are you referring to, to the actual training or the advocacy?
Yeah, whatever comes to your mind that you would like to share that just really gives our listeners an idea of this, putting this in motion.
Okay. I would say one thing that I try to keep in mind and one thing that I've noticed from being on different continents is that parents are parents. And children are children, and foster parents are foster parents, and social workers are social workers. No matter what continent I've been on, the heart, the goal, the desire is usually the same, and that they want to see kids okay. And it should be everyone's heart to want to see kids okay. because it's a cliche to say, you know, the children are our future. But they literally are. And if we allow an entire generation in a country, whether it be here or somewhere else, to go unnoticed or to go without their needs being met, then we affect the future of our countries and our societies. And so all of us have a part. And because just because we don't know someone that possibly is in foster care or has been affected by foster care one way or the other, doesn't mean it's not our business.
Right.
It's all of our business to ensure that children around us in our cities or across the ocean are cared for and that we care about that. And like we said before, everybody has a different role in that. And everybody's measure of their role will be different, but that we should all care.
Yeah. Amen to that. And I agree. We want to see children and families not just survive, but to thrive and be successful.
Right.
Yeah. So as we wrap up here, Carla, today, what is on your heart that you really want our listeners to hear from our conversation?
More than anything, if there are people listening that are supporting programs that are child-focused, I would like them to look very closely at the program, to study them closely and figure out exactly what it is that that program is doing, and whether or not that lines up with the mandate that children belong in families. Because I'll give you an example. There are many churches, well-meaning people all over the world that are giving their money and their time and their resources and their passion towards something that is doing the opposite.
Yeah.
We're building orphanages instead of families.
Yeah.
And those same resources and that same energy and that same passion that we put into building buildings to house hundreds of children at a time, we could be putting into keeping families together, into finding foster families and supporting them in caring for children, because they may be able to emotionally and compassionately, they may even be trauma competent, but they may not be able to do it financially. So I urge people that are listening, churches, pastors, advocates, just anyone, if you are supporting a organization, please make sure that that organization's main goal is to get a child in a trauma competent family where they can thrive and be who God called them to be.
I agree, because I feel like it's kind of an old school mindset to let's help orphans, let's build an orphanage.
Yes.
Where we know so much more now that, you know, that God modeled it for us. Adoption and setting children into families, that is God's heart, not
absolutely
build an institution and let's put them in there. And you know, and I suppose there are countries where there's a need to put a child in a safe place, but that should only be for a short amount of time.
Temporary.
Yeah, while children, because children aren't also, even in the United States, kids aren't meant to go into foster care and languish there forever. Permanency
absolutely
is the goal. They need to be either reunified when it's safe and prudent to do so, or they need to be placed into a permanent forever family. And that should be the goal of every Christian and every organization globally who's working
absolutely
with children, that they need to be working to get those kids in safe, loving, permanent families. They need permanency too.
Yes.
So I love that. I love what you do and I love what you're saying, and I totally am on board. Instead of building orphanages and funding orphanages and throwing our resources and our time into orphanages, we need to build families.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, and strengthen families. So oh, I thank you so much, Carla, for
thank you
for all that you do. And are you going to be traveling soon to another country to do some training?
Actually, I probably will not be. I don't plan on it, but sometimes my invitations come 3 to 6 months in advance. I was in Malawi just last month, and my plan is to spend the rest of the year traveling with my family around the U.S.
Yeah.
So,
wonderful.
But you know, sometimes I really don't know what God is going to do. I've had a 6-day notice to Mexico before, so it is possible. And I'm willing to do it. And every time God provides and makes it happen. And so I don't know. I don't know where I Speak for Kids is going to go next. I just know that we are willing to go. And when those invitations come, we make sure that this is what God wants us to do, and we go.
Wonderful. Now, will you be at the CAFO Summit in Dallas?
Unfortunately, I will not this year. I usually speak at CAFO, but I am going to be speaking at a conference here in my region the same weekend, and so I won't be able to attend this year.
Well, you are a busy mama, for sure. Ministering to your children at home and supporting families across the country and around the world. So thank you, Carla Marie, for all that you do. I know you're in the trenches there, homeschooling your babies and your faithfulness to serve children and families around the world, too. So thank you for taking the time out to be on the show today.
Thank you so much for having me.
And to learn more about Carla's work, visit her website at ispeakforkidsglobal.com. And that's the number 4, ispeakforkidsglobal.com. And we thank you, our listeners, for listening to this episode of Orphans No More. You can find more shows on our website at justicefororphansny.org. And as our podcast, by searching the show by name, Orphans No More. I am Sandra Flack, Executive Director of Justice for Orphans, and our mission is to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless. We inspire, educate, and equip the body of Christ to walk out James 1:27 by adoption, foster care, orphan care ministry, really however God calls you to walk out James 1:27. We just want you to do it. So to learn more or to contact me about speaking at your church or event, visit our website. Again, that's justicefororphansny.org.
Thank you for supporting this program by listening today, sharing what you've heard, and praying for orphans and children in need everywhere. More information is available at justicefororphansny.org. Visit and discover how you can make a difference in a child's life. And be sure to tune in to Orphans No More next Friday.